Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Beth.
All right. Today's Do Not Fear scripture is another Isaiah. Isaiah had a lot to say. I love Isaiah 54:4. 54:4. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood.
Wow.
So God makes promises to all. He takes care of those who are the widows and the orphans, right?
Yes,
and
he
everybody
does.
Else too.
Yes, he
so
does.
So God is good to us.
Yes, he is.
All
on today's call. All the time. You're right, baby. On today's call, we're going to discuss seven things about your past to assure your future.
Mm-hmm. Goes right along with our Isaiah.
Now, we're going to say 18 words. And if you get nothing else from this teaching but these 18 words and get them down inside of you, your life will never be the same.
Hallelujah.
When I say get it, when we say that, we mean it. Deep down inside. So that no circumstance or problem can ever cause you to forget this powerful truth, even in the heat of battle. Are you ready? I want you to say it out loud with me. Hallelujah. You ready? Here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
God will never do a new thing in my life as long as I'm holding on to the past.
All right.
God will never do a new thing in my life as long as I'm holding on to the past. If you need a confirming scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You must get rid of the old to embrace the new.
And it's all a process.
That's it.
It's step by step. It doesn't all happen at once.
So let's look at the seven things about your past to assure you a prosperous future. Number one, you've got a past. Where you are today is a result of choices you made yesterday. Where you will be tomorrow will be a result of the choices that you make today. Now, we fully realize that some of you are dealing with situations today because of choices dysfunctional family members made for you yesterday. Ever what happened to you in the past doesn't give you an excuse for your behavior in the future. If you're drawing a breath on planet Earth, we're confident that some things in your past, there's some things you're not particularly proud of. But that's history. Your past, the old thing that's passing away, was never designed to enslave you to where you are, doing what you've been doing. The night of your past is turning today.
Amen. Night today, I like it.
Romans 13:12, Contemporary English Version. Night is almost over. Day will soon appear. We must stop behaving as people do in the dark and get ready to live in the light.
Hallelujah.
It's time for us to live in the light of God's Word.
Think of that. That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
Number two, you can't change the past. What's done is done, you know, and you're just going to have to let it go. But you certainly can change the consequences of your future by decisions you decide to make today on this fabulous Friday. Oscar Wilde, the great playwright, said, "No man is rich enough to buy back his past."
That's great.
That is incredible scripture. It's an incredible quote. There is no need to change your past. It's already been forgiven. God's ready to do a new thing in your life. You can learn a lot from your past about things that you don't ever want to do again. Isaiah 43:18-19, one of my favorites. Isaiah 43:18-19, in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
Glory.
That is called faith in God. If you've messed up, you just need to fess up to Him, get up, and move on. But I'm going to say this one more time. Not only are you unable to change the past, you don't need to. You've already been forgiven, hallelujah, and you need to walk with your head held high.
Hallelujah. Mm. That's so strong. Number three, you can't blame the past. There's never a winner when you play the blame game, even if your behavior makes you the most valuable player of the game. Hmm. If you'd only done this, yes. But if you'd only done that, do you know who wins in such conversation? If you say nobody, you'd be wrong. The enemy of your soul wins. Hosea 4:4, New Living Translation. Don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame. My complaint, you priest, is with you.
Mm. Number four, you don't need to be controlled by your past. We need to establish another absolute truth and fact. God will never remind you of your past. We've said this before, but it's worth saying again. He can't. He's forgotten it. And here are the two confirming scriptures. Write them down if you need to. First one is Hebrews 8:12. Hebrews 8:12 in the New Living Translation says, "And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." And second, in Jeremiah 31:34. Jeremiah 31:34, Contemporary English Version, says it this way. "No longer will they have to teach one another to obey me. I, the Lord, promise that all of them will obey me, ordinary people and rulers alike. I will forgive their sins and forget the evil things they have done." If God can wipe it from his memory to be no more, Okay, we need to be asking ourselves an obvious question then. If God is not reminding me of my past, then who is? The answer is, painfully obvious. Either you, because you're feeling guilty over something you ought not to be feeling guilty of anymore, because the accuser of the brethren, the devil of debt, lack, and everything else that's evil or bad, is reminding you. Don't pay attention to him. Job 2:1 in the New Living Translation, very insightful scripture, says, "One day the members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them." You need to read that scripture over. Satan can maybe say some things. Look, I got to digress, honey. The point being is that God is the righteous judge. You can prove it in scripture. Just type in righteous judge. It'll bring it up. The scripture, righteous judge. He is the righteous judge. He made the law book. That's the word of God you're reading. The accuser of the brethren is the district attorney who's pointing his finger at you. You hear me? He's pointing his finger at you. And your intercessor, your attorney, that is at the right hand of God Almighty, is Jesus, the intercessor who stands before God and has forgiven you of all your sins. So what we have to give the righteous judge is the word and not what we say. Lord, we've been forgiven. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, because the minute you say something like, "Oh, I'll never make the rent this month," the accuser is going to point at him and say, "See what came out of his mouth? See what came out of his mouth?" You have to give God what the word says, and then you can distance yourself from the enemy, because he has no witness out of your mouth to accuse you of. So ask the Lord, say, forgive me for having said that. I want it to be wiped off my record, and I know you forgive and forget. And then say, "You know what? My Lord supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ."
Hallelujah.
Okay. I had to get off.
Sorry. On that. It was good.
But it's important to remember.
It is. Number five, you must take responsibility for your past. If you continue to blame everyone else for your mistakes, you'll never become what God intended you to be.
Mm.
I have I have far greater respect for someone who takes responsibility for their mistakes than someone who tries to cover them up or shift the blame to someone else. Proverbs 28:13, the Living Bible, offers some good advice that we need to listen to. It says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. The best approach, in fact, the scriptural approach, is to just fess up, like you said a moment ago, when you make a mistake. By confessing our sins, we're headed in the right direction, which is his direction.
Amen.
Proverbs 24:15-16, Message Bible. Don't interfere with good people's lives. Don't try to get the best of them. No matter how many times you trip them up, God-loyal people don't stay down long. Soon, they're up on their feet, while the wicked end up flat on their faces. Joe Louis, the heavyweight champion of the world, once said, if life knocks you down, try to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up.
That's a good one. Number six, you must change. We must change. You're going to be judged by your reputation of the past until you do something to change your reputation for the future. The point is, if we're willing to change, things will change. And if not, then they probably won't. It's up to us to make the decision to acknowledge or not acknowledge things. Don't worry about changing other people. Change yourself and you'll be amazed at how quickly they can change. The only way to effectively change your circumstances is for you to personally change how you look at them.
So true.
I mean, truly, we used to tell the kids, you know, they'd say, well, this person said this about me. We say, well, live like it's not true and you'll be okay. You know, when they come home from school. The point is to do the things necessary to change your future into the reality you desire. The late President John F. Kennedy once said, change is the law of life, and those who look only to the past are certain to miss the future.
Wow.
Good quote.
Yes, it is.
God has a bright future planned for each one of us. We don't want to miss it by living in the past and refusing to change what we can to make our future bright.
Amen. Number seven, you must not let your past define your future. Never allow your past to do that. To determine your future. Patrick Henry, the great American patriot, once said, I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past. You can't change your past, but you can redirect your future. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the poet, once said, with the past, I have nothing to do, nor with the future, I live now. Proverbs 24:14, New Living Translation. In the same way, wisdom, sweet to the soul, if you find it, you'll have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short.
Wow.
Dennis Waitley, the author and motivational speaker, once said, losers live in the past. Winners learn from the past and enjoy working in the present toward the future. Habakkuk 2:3, New Living Translation. The vision for our future. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will suddenly take place. You will not be delayed. One more thing. Don't let people you've known in the past try to keep you where you were before. Your past, forgiven and forgotten. That makes you ready for a new thing. So don't look back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Join us every morning at 8:30 Eastern. Until then, tomorrow, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.